Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful week.
Indeedy. Fresh and sneezy.
Okay, if you want to do that.
My bad.
Wow.
Anyways, it's been a while. It's been a long day, long week, you name it.
Okay, let's get into it.
Alrighty.
We have Twitter followers.
Twitter.
So we have Dan Errol.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mike Grins Sheepishly. I got it right.
Yeah, you screwed that up just a minute ago.
Rick.
Just Rick.
Just Rick.
Alrighty, Rick.
Holy Sexologist.
Interesting.
And Pride Energy Drink.
Okay.
So you can follow us on Twitter too.
Uh-huh.
What is it?
Secular Yakking.
Yeah. Yeah. At secular.
Oh, see, this is why I shouldn't do it.
Okay, never mind.
See, I don't do that kind of stuff.
Okay. Anyway.
Uh-huh.
So I was going through some of our other places we have our podcast, namely on Stitcher.
Uh-huh.
And I found a review.
Oh, okay.
From Stitcher.
Yeah, it's been a while from Stitcher.
Yeah. And it's from Ginger Princess from 4 months ago.
Oh, that's terrible that you're just now getting it.
I don't use Stitcher.
You suck. You should not be 4 months behind.
Well, I'm not going to be 4 months behind now.
Yeah, you weren't doing your homework.
I have to check. I forgot we were on Stitcher, actually.
You owe this person an apology.
I just apologized.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Yeah, see, you never do. You owe me an apology.
Not going to happen.
Anyway. Ginger Princess says, great conversation in a half hour. Great show. Safe for work. Mostly fun and informative.
Well, that's very nice. And again, somebody apologizes for not being on the ball with that one.
I will now check my Stitcher.
Well, hopefully this person still listens, considering that was 4 flipping months ago.
Well, if you do still listen, let us know, Ginger Princess.
Yes, because he owes you an apology.
I do. All right, I suppose we can just get on with the actual show part.
That is correct.
Congressman launches inquiry into God's Not Dead 2 billboard controversy.
What?
Yeah. Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher.
Sure, that's what it is.
Said Friday he will conduct an inquiry into why a sign advertising the August 16th DVD release of God's Not Dead 2 was deemed too incendiary for the Republican National Convention, which kicked off Monday in Cleveland.
Okay.
So the sign, which was obviously too incendiary to be put up for advertising, said, I'd rather stand for God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. This was a line from the movie by Melissa Joan Hart's character.
Okay. Who,
if you don't know God's Not Dead 2, Melissa Joan Hart plays a teacher who was asked a question about Jesus, so she answered honestly, and the world apparently freaked out because she said Jesus in school.
Okay.
Right. Which, and in the context, from what I understand, it was perfectly a legal situation what she answered.
Uh-huh.
So I don't even know what they're freaking out about. But there was a lawsuit and all this other stuff, and this was the thing. She was not going to give in.
Okay.
Right. So what happened was the sign company told them that they couldn't put the sign up there.
Uh-huh.
Because the city ordinance would not allow that size and that design.
It had nothing to do with the message.
True. And not exactly.
Okay.
So there was some emails back and forth for quite some time about the content. The sign company said it may not be approved because of the content, because that seemed to be a very judgy thing to say. And then they wrote back just a few days before the convention, or maybe a week before the convention, and said, no, we can't do it. The city won't let us because of its design.
Okay.
So this guy wants an inquiry into why it took so long for them to tell them that, because then they had no other options. They couldn't get a new company.
Right.
Right. So, and he also was wondering why an FFRF billboard was allowed in the same space.
Okay. Now, I'm assuming size is different or no?
Absolutely.
And that's what I figured.
And different company.
Well, then what's the issue? Because obviously they're two totally separate things.
Well, they're entirely two separate things. One is an advertisement for a movie.
Right.
Literally. That's what it was. It's coming to DVD August 16th.
Right.
The other one was a quote by Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
Historically accurate.
Well, I was going to say it's historical, which is, already happened. Yeah.
We established no religion in this country. Church and state are and must remain separate. Pretty important for the National Convention coming up, right? And he's a Republican, so it makes sense.
Right, exactly.
Interestingly, he thinks there's something going on, that there's some sort of weird Christian persecution going on here.
But everything is different about what was before. Right. So it's, again, whining, we're being persecuted, blah, blah, blah.
Right. So I would like to know where this person was a couple of years ago when American Atheist was denied their billboards.
He didn't have a problem with that
Didn't say a word about it.
No. Nope.
Nor did he last year when they were denied in Tennessee. Same.
Well, it's just par for the course. If it goes their way, no big deal. If it doesn't go their way, whine, whine, whine.
Right. Now, for the record, I don't think Christian billboards should be denied because of content.
Uh-huh.
Ever. Put it up. I don't care.
Freedom of speech.
Yeah, freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. And if you provide signage, you provide signage for everybody.
Well, I was just going to say, just make sure all gets, you know, a say.
Right. And that's the job of billboards companies, to provide signage for people to put their signs on.
Right. Which we drive past one constantly over that way. Over, yeah. And it's huge with lots and lots and lots of words. It's like almost distracting when you're driving if you plan on reading it.
You have to drive by it 5 or 6 times to read it.
I was going to say, you're usually driving, so I can read it.
That's got some pretty incendiary things on it.
It has a lot of info on it.
It's a lot of, you're going to hell if you do this type stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those billboards.
Big, long paragraph thing going on.
It's ridiculous.
But, I think that's one of two I know of, too.
Yeah, and they're right next to each other, just down the street. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But, yeah.
So that's happening.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what's going to happen. Probably nothing.
Probably not. It's just whining and complaining.
It is.
And it'll just move on.
And I think we'll move on.
As you should.
Hi there. This is Matthew the Apostle. Have you been wondering, is your local pastor that ran away with the church's money and the deacon's wife? Do you just want to know if it was your rabbi that was arrested for planting a spy camera in the women's bathhouse? Has it ever crossed your mind that it might just be your archbishop that was arrested for fondling children in his care? Or do you just want to know more about the Southern Baptist pastor who was arrested for seeking a little canine carnal companionship? If you've answered yes to any of these questions, you need to listen to In the Name of God, the podcast, your weekly roundup of the most bizarre and hypocritical actions of the people who claim to live the pure and pious life as dictated by their God. In the Name of God, the podcast, the religious news from the Atheist Apostle, a proud member of the Secular Outreach Network, on the web at secularoutreach.com.
A satanic prayer happened in Pensacola, Florida.
Okay.
Now, you know as well as I do that we promote the Satanic Temple and their practices of getting prayers in city council meeting.
Okay, are you going to continue to talk like a robot the whole time?
No.
Okay.
No. Anyways,
uh-huh.
I have a problem with this, though.
Okay.
And it's what happens every single time.
With the satanic prayer? Okay.
So every single time prayer comes up in council meetings, the public comment part of meetings turn to a praise Jesus prayer session.
Wait, every time the satanic ones
Every time anything regarding prayer, not just Satanists. So anytime that, you know, we'll go into a city council and say, hey, you shouldn't have prayers.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe you should open up prayers to everybody. It turns into a praise Jesus.
Oh, and
every
not anyone else.
Single time.
Right.
Feels like I'm in church.
Yeah.
And that was no different the other night in Pensacola, Florida, when David Suhor gave the invocation as the representative of the Satanic Temple.
Okay.
The fear and ignorance really just made me angry. Really.
Okay.
So I'm...
Now, this is from what invocation he gave that?
The invocation he gave that night. So here's what happened.
Okay.
They called for order.
Right.
Right. You know, like you're supposed to. And they said, well, David Suhor is going to give the invocation.
Uh-huh.
And the Christians started saying the Lord's Prayer as loud as they possibly could.
While he was doing his?
Before he even got started. He had just stepped up to the podium and just, Lord, what? I don't even know the Lord's Prayer anymore. But they started saying it over and over and over and over.
That is so disrespectful.
Right. And there was even one guy that stood up and was leading them. He's standing right behind David Suhor.
I don't, they don't give a crap about anyone else. They are so not, you know, loving or, you know, shoot, I just lost the word I was thinking of. You know, they're not all inclusive or even accepting that someone might have a different idea and just respecting and being quiet and let them talk.
So David said he wasn't going to start until everybody could hear him.
Oh, that's good.
So the mayor or the city council president had to clear the room.
Wow, really?
And he said, if you're not going to be quiet, you have to leave. Which was,
well, that's good. Right. That's his job.
Right. But I want to talk about what happened afterwards.
Okay.
In the public comment section of the meeting.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So he gave his prayer. Invocation. His invocation, uh-huh. And he sang it. It was very cool.
Oh,
I suggest you go look it up. It's very nice. I'll put a video up somewhere.
I was going to say, you can do a show notes thing?
Yeah, I'll put something in the show notes.
Okay.
So, but then the people came up.
Oh, this is where the fun starts.
Yeah. One of them compared Satanism to being Muslim.
What? That's absurd.
Yeah. And it appears to me their faith is so weak that just hearing someone else's views might sway them. So, one of them alluded to it. That they they didn't want to be swayed by his beliefs.
Well, they have some personal issues, I think.
Yeah. And are they afraid of the devil's magic that they have to silence anyone who disagrees with them? This was the feeling I got. So what I did is I sat there and I watched 50 minutes of public comment. Wow. I do this so you don't have to.
Oh, aren't you sweet?
Yes. So one gentleman spoke about the First Amendment rights that need to be upheld and then goes on to suggest that the invocation was not proper because, and I'm quoting here, the founding fathers and the citizens of this community would not agree with that is any form of religion that is acceptable to the vast majority of citizens.
Oh, so now it's the vast majority is acceptable.
Right. He doesn't get to say what is and is not a religion.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Now we're calling out opinions on what can and can't be.
Right. That's actually the job of the IRS.
Yeah, because pretty much they're the one. Oh, that's just a cheese.
Yeah, and being acceptable to the vast majority doesn't matter when it comes to this. Greece versus Galloway made this very clear. So one of my favorites was a woman who said that David shouldn't stand there and try to change her mind. This is when I was talking about swaying.
Again.
Yet 1 minute later, and literally 1 minute later in her speech, she says she wants to change his.
Oh, isn't that always the way?
Yeah. So why does she get to talk about how?
Because they're freaking hypocrites in everything they do and say. It's this kind of crap time and time again. It's like an old worn out song.
Right.
It gets old. And so, I have a lot to say.
Three others gave counter invocations. Uh-huh. And I do mean they gave a new invocation.
Can they even do that?
It's their public time.
How long do they get?
3 minutes.
That's what I thought.
So, yeah, they actually offered their own invocations. Two of them were actually pastors.
Oh my God, I think I would have fallen asleep.
Several people quoted the Declaration of Independence, putting the emphasis on the word creator.
Ugh, they just don't get it.
Yeah. But what annoyed me the most was after David Suher himself talked about the need for the council to fix the invocation choosing system to be more fair, the council president stated, this same system has allowed him to speak 3 times in the last 6 years. So yeah, we need to correct the system. Basically saying he needs to fix the system so David Suher can't come back. That's how I heard that.
And they want us to join with them.
Yeah.
I cannot wrap my head around the behavior that they do, and yet they want us to join them, and they're the moral ones. They're freaking horrible people. I'm sorry. The people who behave and act like this are horrible.
I agree.
And I don't care. I'll say it over and over again. I would not be associated with an organization that treats people like that. I just won't.
I agree, which is why part of why we're not, aside from the fact that we don't believe.
Well,
that's
but the whole God thing aside, just the behavior alone is just ridiculous.
So if you can stomach crazy for 50 minutes.
No.
A link to the actual raw video will be in the show notes. Right. And this is on the county's or the city council's website.
And you can watch all the love.
Yeah. It's all good from there.
God. Oh, they're so just horrible to anyone who's not them.
Yeah.
I mean.
But I do have some good news.
All right. Fine.
Tom's back.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. And he's going to talk about some evolution and Nazis.
Yeah, that's very interesting topic line, I thought.
Yeah, so let's get into that.
All righty.
And Tom is back with us after a long, unwarranted vacation.
As am I.
And Amy's joining us for the first time on Yak from the Past.
Yep, I figure it's time I should sit in.
It is time. And hello, everybody. So this week I got some something interesting. We're going to talk about evolution and Nazis.
The evolution of Nazis or Nazis? No, Nazi evolution.
Evolution and Nazis.
Okay, just wanted to clarify that.
Very interesting.
Yes. You know what? I forgot. I need to do my book of the week.
Oh, yes. Let's do that first.
I almost completely forgot about that. And I'll go ahead and use the one I used for this. There's a really good book called Lenin, Stalin, and Hitler, The Age of Social Catastrophe. And it's by Robert Gelately. I might be saying that wrong. G-E-L-L-A-T-E-L-Y. Gelately.
Yeah.
Probably butchering that.
Sure.
But it's basically comparing the different dictatorships of Lenin, Stalin, and Hitler. And really good. It's kind of a long book. It's 600 some pages, but good stuff. Highly recommend.
Cool.
I'll
put that link on the show notes, and it'll be ready to go.
And so this week is, it's not so much a history lesson as it is a lesson in thinking critically, historically.
Okay.
So so I saw a couple weeks ago on social media that belief in the theory of evolution by natural selection led to basically the creation of Nazis and the rise of Hitler.
So we're talking like social Darwinism and eugenics, right?
Social Darwinism and eugenics, yes.
Okay.
So it's an interesting historical question because there's kind of a grain of truth to it. And also a much larger grain of falsehood to it. So, firstly, it must be said that the theory of evolution is simply a scientific theory explaining a natural phenomenon. It doesn't make any value claims. Anything claiming that the ideas in the theory do or do not lead to certain actions or beliefs is a political statement, not a scientific statement.
Okay.
It's humans that ascribe value and conviction to ideas, not the ideas themselves. So that's my disclaimer.
Okay.
But now, with that said, there is, without a doubt, an unequivocal connection between Nazi ideology and social Darwinism, which is the political theory that developed from the scientific theory.
Right. And I've heard that, hundreds of times.
Yes. So if you were to claim that the theory of evolution, or the discovery of the theory of evolution, had a direct influence on Nazi ideology, you would actually be 100% correct.
Okay.
Now, however, it's a historical fallacy to claim that something is inevitable. So just because evolution by natural selection was discovered, it does not therefore follow that racist and anti-Semitic political ideas will come to fruition like we do with the Nazis.
Right. I think you need some exterior input to go along with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of exterior input that goes along with it. So just because it was discovered does not therefore mean you get Nazis out of it, essentially.
Okay.
So it should be noted that the theory of evolution did not invent racism and anti-Semitism in Germany. Those things existed centuries before Darwin was even born.
Right. I mean, feudalism was kind of based on that, right?
The Catholic Church in the Middle Ages was very anti-Semitic. Yeah. A lot of like the Black Death was blamed on the Jews, poisoning wells and such. So historian Robert Gelately, or Gelatti, however you pronounce his last name, notes in Lenin, Stalin, and Hitler, the book I recommended, that long before the Nazis came to power, racial hygiene, which is basically what the Nazis called eugenics, had already become a scientific orthodoxy in the German medical community. So what Darwin's theory did in terms with the Nazis is it created a paradigm shift in how people thought about the world around them. The idea that different species struggled to survive in nature translated over nicely into racist political theories. So instead of using cherry-picked religious ideas to justify anti-Semitism and racism, people in Germany and elsewhere simply switched to a scientific kind of viewpoint and cherry-picked a few Darwinian ideas to justify their prejudices.
Interesting.
Hmm.
So as a historical lesson, this should serve as a reminder that people can take and warp any idea to fit their preconceived notions and political agendas. However, the theory of evolution itself is no more dangerous and no more innocuous than any other scientific theory.
Right. So you couldn't necessarily take the theory of gravity and use that as a political structure without an exterior input, right?
Yeah. You could. I mean, yeah. You could say, oh, this justifies the theory. You'd have to really twist that one. But you could say, you know, the theory of gravity and mass means that skinny people are somehow better and therefore fat people should be killed because we don't like fat people. And, like, basically twist it so that it justifies kind of a preconceived notion.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Kill the fat people.
Because of gravity.
Because of gravity.
Because of gravity.
That's social Newtonism.
And so, ooh.
That's good.
Ooh, I like that. Social Newtonism.
I'm going to use it.
So in the Age of Discovery, when Western thinkers thought in theological terms, the revelation that there were people on the other side of the globe who had never heard of God or Jesus required them to work that new information into their preconceived ideas about the world around them. And it was exactly the same way with the theory of evolution by natural selection. It was this kind of revolutionary concept, a new way of looking at things. And so people just kind of scrambled to see how that fit into their worldview they already held.
Right. That makes perfect sense.
Right. So, and like in the Age of Discovery, this revelation led to some good things and some pretty terrible things like Nazis and the Holocaust. But that does not mean that the information itself has any intrinsic value one way or the other.
Right.
So what matters, what people do with ideas, not the ideas themselves. And the example I thought of, and I'm going off my notes here, so brace yourselves.
Okay.
The discovery that if you split an atom, it releases a ton of energy.
That was the example I was just going to go for.
Hey, great minds.
Sometimes. And, you know,
just because you discover something like that doesn't mean now you should build nuclear weapons and drop them on women and children.
Right.
You know, that's a political choice, not a scientific choice. So that's really my spiel for this week. Like I said, it's kind of short, getting back to the swing of things.
Right.
But, you know, when you're – I mean, so that there is a link between the theory of evolution and Nazism.
Right. I don't think any reasonable person could deny that, right?
Right. Right. The historical record would definitely disagree with you if you did. But it does not follow that because someone believes in evolution or discovered evolution that therefore they will become a Nazi, or if they discover this information, therefore Nazis will end up being a thing.
Right.
Like, yeah, I said,
that's a trope we are always up against, though.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. It's not, and it relies a lot on hindsight. You know, theory of evolution is essentially discovered, and you have these political ideologies like social Darwinism, you know, that kind of come from it, you know, people extrapolating ideas that they like from it, and then you end up with Nazis, which is always bad. It's always bad when you end up with Nazis.
Generally, that is a bad thing, yes.
Yeah, but people say, well, that's inevitable if you know, that was inevitable because of evolution. Saying something is inevitable, when you have hindsight is a historical fallacy. Nothing's necessarily inevitable.
That is correct.
So just a reminder that people can twist and warp anything. I've explained this before to people, and I always use the example of Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
I can decide that if I decide, you know, Dr. Pepper is just a soda and I like it or I don't. But if I decide that Dr. Pepper is the best soda, and then anyone who doesn't drink Dr. Pepper is beneath me and should be, you know, wiped off the face of the planet, you know, that's a whole different thing than actually just Dr. Pepper itself. But you can make anything into an ideology and warp and twist it and be a terrible person.
And we have seen that many, many times.
It happens a lot. So yes. I think next week I'm going to talk about the connection of atheism and Stalin.
Well, that will be interesting, and we should probably get a few comments on that.
Yeah,
I hope there are some interesting. It have to be Stalin and Lenin. Lenin had some pretty interesting things to say about atheism and religious people that kind of led to some pretty terrible things. So,
yeah, there are some good things that turn into bad things. I think that's what this is about.
Yes, but other news. I have a Patreon, and I told people that if they sign up for my Patreon, that I would give them a shout out on here. So,
okay. So
is it shout out? Is it good shout-out time?
It is perfect shout-out time.
Okay, so Andrea Roach, became a Patreon of mine. And thank you, Andrea. You're a wonderful person. And also my mom, Deb Essel. Heart. Love you, Mom. So those are my two my Patreons there. So if you want to sign up as a Patreon of mine and help me buy food, you can go to patreon.com/Thomas Essel and it'll pull it up. And any donations are greatly appreciated.
Yes. And what?
I was just saying that's cool.
Oh, okay, that's cool. And we'll have that on the show notes as well. And it's going to be linked on our Facebook page. And if I ever get... Oh, well, the website's up, so I'll put it on there too.
All right.
I forget what I do sometimes.
It happens to the best of us.
I know. All right, well, that was enlightening as usual, Tom.
Thank you.
All right. And we'll talk to you later.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
And we have Potter Award winner again this week.
Or should I say
winners?
Plural?
Plural.
I was going to say one would hope.
Well, it's kind of plural.
Okay.
This week's Potter Award goes to the entire GOP convention.
Oh, does it now?
Yes.
Okay.
I can find very little to be happy about coming out of Cleveland this week.
Uh-huh.
But I did find a lot of people that want to use their power to control the lives of others.
I see that all the time. I think we just talked about it.
Yes, we did. So I'm going to start with the simple stuff.
All right.
The entire process broke when some delegates wanted a rule change that would allow them to nominate someone other than Trump.
Okay.
Points of order were ignored. Microphones were silenced. And in short, the anti-Trump delegates were shut down by the chair.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. It got so bad, the entire delegation from Colorado and Iowa walked out.
Was that Iowa?
Iowa.
Were you trying to say Iowa? Iowa. Because yeah. You failed miserably.
Yeah. Chaos erupted on the floor as delegates shouted for a roll call vote and were denied, with the chair going for the oh-so-accurate voice vote. And for those that don't know, there's two types of voting in delegation, in conventions.
Mm-hmm.
There's the roll call vote, which is literally they go down the names and say yes or no.
Okay.
Then there's the voice vote, which is the chair standing up on the podium and saying, all in favor, say aye. And then he gets to judge the ayes and the nays.
Are you kidding?
That's a voice vote.
That is so inaccurate. That is the most
undemocratic thing ever.
You think?
But it's been in use for centuries. Okay. Which, that probably works fine when you have 20 people, 30 people, 50, maybe even 100. But when you have 6,000 people.
That's retarded.
It doesn't work.
Wow.
I mean, what are they doing up there with sound meters or something?
No.
This guy's actually, that's his job. Part of his job is he listens for the number of ayes and the number of nays.
And I'd like to know, does he stay completely impartial?
I have never heard of one that does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but that's just the beginning.
Okay.
They have a platform.
Okay.
So you know what a platform is, right?
Mm.
Roughly. So a platform is...
You know what it looks like.
That's kind of how it came to be.
Okay.
A platform is a list of things that the party stands for or stands on as a platform.
Right. I get that.
So I did some looking at some terms in this platform they voted on.
Mm-hmm.
God was mentioned 16 times.
Of course, can't have that.
Usually with God-given inalienable rights, quoting the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, so now they're God-given. Okay.
Yeah. Creator was mentioned 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
And they quoted themselves as the party of Abraham Lincoln, which I 100%
oh, that's bull.
Disagree with.
You think? That no, they, that's they, total bull.
They have the same name, but not the same concepts.
Uh-huh.
So let's get into what some of their platform issues are.
Uh-huh.
On Supreme Court, they want judges that will overturn Roe versus Wade, Obergefell, which is the gay marriage decision, Obama decision, and calling those decisions judicial activism.
What is their obsession with hate?
I don't know.
I mean, talk about just hate. I mean, that's all they do.
Sounded like the Grinch.
Oh, yeah.
Hate.
Loathe entirely.
Yes, well.
But yeah, I mean, whatever discriminates or doesn't include or you name it, they hate it all.
That sounded like their entire platform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I have more.
All right.
This is 66 pages of platform.
And we're not going over that whole thing, right?
No.
You kind of hesitated?
Oh, not.
Kind of scared me there?
Not today. No, I haven't even read through the whole 66 pages. There's
you a lot will, of, won't you?
Eventually, yeah.
Uh-huh. Of course you will.
I just perused over looking for stuff that was really interesting.
This is why we don't get out much.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. This is why we argue, because I want out and you just want to keep doing this.
That's what I do.
Uh-huh. Anyways, go on.
On abortion.
Well, of course, we got to hit that.
This is the Constitution's guarantee that no one can be deprived of life, liberty, or property deliberately echoes the Declaration of Independence proclamation that all are endowed by their creator with the inalienable right to life. We support human life amendment that the Constitution legislation make clear that the 14th Amendment protections apply to children before birth.
Oh, boy. Really?
Really. That's part of their platform. They want to make it illegal, 100% illegal, to perform an abortion.
No matter what or no when matter or why. What.
Right. Because that's what the 14th, this platform piece would make that, the Human Life Amendment.
Again, hate, hate, hate.
It would also make some forms of contraception.
Okay, but to get back on the abortion thing, the thing that, holy crap, pisses me off is the fact they are so uppity about getting up in there and pro-lifing this baby before it's born, but yet the freaking second this baby is born, they don't give two shits about helping it actually live.
Yeah, I'm aware
And live
of that.
A quality of life.
I'm aware of that.
That's... I mean, you know, they forget about that part that was written about how everyone has the chance for... God, why can't
pursuit
I
of
that?
Happiness. Thank they you. Left that. They Jeez left Louise. That part out.
Exactly, because the pursuit of happiness is the living part. All they give a crap about is what's going on inside a woman and what they can dictate with that.
Right. Speaking of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Porn.
Okay, we're gonna go from there to there. Okay.
Pornography, with its harmful effects, especially on children, has become a public health crisis that is destroying the lives of millions. We encourage states to continue to fight this public menace and pledge our commitment to children's safety and well-being.
Oh, wait, wait, wait. They're trying to play the porn card on
kids,
children, so they're trying to get the sympathy for porn through saying kids.
Yeah.
That is such BS.
I agree. They have a serious porn issue.
I can tell you why.
I don't know why.
I can tell you why. Watch what they do behind their own closed doors and you'll know.
Yeah, I know. It's not like Utah's the porn capital of the United States.
Oh, the stories I could tell about Utah.
Yeah. Anyways, transgender access to bathrooms.
Ugh, God, that again.
This gets a little complicated. They support the original intent of Title IX of the 1972 Education Reform Act. That states no one can be discriminated on the based on sex in education and financial assistance type stuff.
Okay.
Basically, it was set up in order to make sure women get equal access to education, particularly higher education was what it was meant for.
Okay.
So that colleges wouldn't discriminate.
Right. Uh-huh.
Now, here's what they're saying about it.
Okay.
That same provision of law is now being used by bureaucrats and by the current president of the United States to impose social and cultural revolution upon the American people by wrongly redefining sex discrimination to include sexual orientation or other categories. Their agenda has nothing to do with individual rights. It has everything to do with power. They are determined to reshape our schools and our entire society to fit the mold to an ideology alien to American history and traditions. Their edict to states concerning restrooms, locker rooms, and other facilities is at once illegal, dangerous, and ignores privacy issues.
Okay, there's so much in there, but the one thing that drives me nuts is if I hear one more person talk about traditions. There was a lot of freaking traditions that went on that should have never freaking happened, but yet they were considered a tradition. But that's like beside the point. That whole thing is just absurd.
So
with the hate, hate, hate.
Yeah, the most absurd part of this is this statement here. Their agenda has nothing to do with individual rights.
Right, it has to do with power.
Has to do with power.
Yeah.
Now, this sounds like projection to me because that's their agenda. That's not the liberal agenda on this. The liberal agenda.
It's equality.
Right. The liberal agenda is equality and individual rights. It's about the individual's right to choose what bathroom they get to go into.
Right. To choose how they want to live their life.
Their agenda is to keep people out of bathrooms they want to go into.
Yeah. They have to stick their nose up some places it doesn't belong yet again.
Exactly.
They really like to do that in so many different ways.
Well, their religion tells them what they must do.
Well, I'm thinking other ways that says they shouldn't, but yet they do it anyways.
Yeah. On religious freedom.
Uh-huh.
They support the FADA, which we talked about last week. The freedom... I forgot the name of it now. I just wrote down FADA. First Amendment Defense Act.
Yeah, you kept saying FADA.
Yeah. They condemned any public official who calls for a boycott of businesses that support traditional marriage. So there were, back with Chick-fil-A, there were people saying not to go to Chick-fil-A. There were public officials saying you shouldn't shop at Hobby Lobby and, you know.
Right.
So they're saying public officials shouldn't be doing that. However, I know quite a few Republican public officials who said we shouldn't shop at Target.
Because they allow stuff that they don't agree with.
Yeah, a little bit of hypocrisy
there. I was going to say, once again, that whole hypocritic train that they ride and ride and ride.
And they support the public display of Ten Commandments as a reflection of our history and our country's Judeo-Christian heritage. I have a huge problem with that word, Judeo-Christian.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't used before the 1940s. There was no Judeo-Christian heritage prior to World War
II. You think?
There wasn't.
No, there was not.
There may have been some of that, right? But it wasn't the majority of people using that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the 1930s and 40s America was still anti-Semitic.
Right.
They didn't use that term. And I really wish they would stop using that term. Because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because they really need to say Judeo-Christian Islamic heritage.
Oh, yeah, because they're going to say that.
Well, it's the same thing.
Uh-huh.
They're all three born of the Abrahamic religion.
But whatever.
All right. And last, and certainly my favorite,
okay,
at least in this discussion,
uh-huh,
this is a direct quote. A good understanding of the Bible being indispensable for the development of educated citizenry, we encourage state legislators to offer Bibles as literature curriculum in American high schools. Now, I don't have a huge problem with Bible as literature, right? But it's the wording that surrounds it. A good understanding being indispensable for the development of educated citizenry.
That's exactly what it states. It is what it states.
Yeah.
They want that to be basically the whole genre for educating students.
Right. So there was a lot of back and forth on this during the convention on whether it should be a required course or whether it should be taught as literature, taught as history,
well, okay,
taught as
devil's advocate. Who's to say which freaking Bible then?
Right. Which Bible?
There are more than just this freaking one.
Right. Is it the New International Version, King James Version, the Women's Bible?
Is it an entire another religion's
Satanic
Bible?
Bible? Which Bible? Right.
Quran.
So, yeah, the Quran.
Yeah. Who's to say whose it's going to be?
Right.
Because that's just total crap if they think it's going to be just one.
Well, they think it is.
Of course they do.
But they'll find out soon enough if they get this passed.
Oh, like hell they'll get that passed.
Yeah. Tony Perkins, president of Family Research Council, said this about it. This is not designed to teach religion in schools as a means of proselytizing. I disagree with you entirely. He also said, you can't really fully understand the American form of government and society without some understanding of the Bible.
Oh, bull. I was going to say it.
I'm pretty sure you can understand our government without any
concept
of the Bible.
I know damn well you can.
Yeah. Our children understand the form of government rather well.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know the Bible any more than...
When I wasn't in Catholic school and I was in normal public school... We learned it just fine without sticking all the religious crap in it.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, I learned more in public school than I did in that damn Catholic school, by the way.
Yeah.
I know I did it.
Yeah. And courts have long agreed that the Bible is worthy of study in public schools as long as that study is academic and not devotional. I can see that as part of religious studies, as part of a larger religious studies class where you study the Bible, the Quran, the Vedas.
I don't think it should be mandated, though.
No, it should be optional.
It should be an elective or something.
It should be. If it's even offered, I don't really see any reason
think
why it should be offered.
I don't think it needs to be offered because it's crap that you stick just that one particular religion in as being an option.
Right.
But yet you don't have anyone else's religion. And this is America where there are tons of different types of people with different kinds of religion. And
right.
It's crap to only have that elective.
Which is why
let alone mandated.
It would be part as a religious studies course.
Course I won't.
Well, obviously. That's not in public school anymore.
I don't care, even if I was. It's just ridiculous. I got other things I need to learn that I think would be a crap load more helpful.
Well, anyway, the whole platform is really pro-Christian, anti-Obama, anti-gay screed. It really is.
Hate, hate, hate.
And I'm not even going to get into the economics and the trade and the immigration, because holy crap, that's a lot.
That's like two more shows.
That's several hours on their own.
But yeah, the whole platform, hate, hate, hate.
Yeah.
You know, oh my gosh, why can't they just get along? I mean, I don't get it.
So then the speaker started.
Uh-huh.
And I thought Clint Eastwood talking to an empty chair was bad.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think we have enough time to cover their full glory. So it looks like we're going to have a Potter Award special two-parter.
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 That's a first.
Yeah. Well.
Too much stupid.
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable.
So, stay tuned next week when we talk about the joy of the speeches.
The joy of the speeches?
Yes.
Okay.
Because there's a lot.
the stupidity is just waiting for us to grab.
And that's all the yakking I got for you this week.
That's enough for me today.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
This show is a member of the Secular Outreach Network, an affiliation of Secular Media Producers. Learn more at secularoutreach.com.